Good morning and praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to examine the Word of a living God with you this morning. We hope to be back up there at Mars Hill for a parking lot service soon, and we'll just be praying that the Lord keeps this virus at bay and we'll get rid of it, Lord, and heal all those around us. It's a blessing to be able to record this here and be able to share the Word with you. Will you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of thy grace, Lord. We thank you for the gift of thy word, that we may hide it in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee, Lord, that we may live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to do just that, to live your word by the Holy Spirit, Lord. By the living word of God, we shall prevail. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful truth. Lord, be with all the sick around us. There's so much pestilence around us, Lord. This plague is everywhere, Lord. We ask you to get rid of it, Lord, in Jesus' name, that everybody may be healthy. Lord, there's more sick around us than just that virus, as you know, and we ask you to send forth your healing touch upon them, Lord. Heal those that's sick physically in the body, and those that's sick mentally, and most of all, Lord, those that's sin-sick spiritually. Help them to come to know you as Savior, Lord, to come to your cleansing blood, to wash away the sins, whiter than snow. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that we can come before your throne of grace by faith. And Lord, help us all to receive your word as just as it is, the word of thee, the living God. Be with all those up at Mars Hill, Lord, all our church. Keep us all healthy, Lord, and strong in you and in your word. May we come back to your house together soon, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you give us, Lord, of kindness, of mercy, of grace, Lord. The fruits of the Spirit you bestow upon us freely. Freely to all who ask, Lord, you promised in Revelation that you'll give to drink of the rivers of living waters freely. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise. Help us to never forsake that and always come before you, your throne every day, Lord. Be with all those around us. We thank you, Father God. And we end this prayer with the prayer that thy Son Jesus Christ taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. I'll give you a second to find it there in your Bible. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. The Lord tells you, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed believing Abraham. They're blessed with believing Abraham. That's from the New King James Version, and this is the Word of God for the people of God. Let us receive it as such, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Give me the words that you speak this morning, Lord, and we thank you for it. Help it to pierce our hearts, Lord, and our minds, that our minds may be renewed, and we may be closer to you, and our hearts pierced by the sword of the Spirit, that we may fully follow you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says here, talking to the Galatians, O foolish Galatians. Now notice here, I've got the Webster's Dictionary, And we'll just read here what foolish is completely defined as, because this was chosen for a reason by the translators. It says, without good sense, silly, unwise, absurd, worthless. It's worthless. It's absurd. It has no good sense about it and foolishness. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Because of this thing they're believing, as we just read here, about we're saved by the Spirit of the living God, by faith in Jesus Christ. And they're trying to do it by the works of the law, as we'll get into here in a little bit. How foolish is that? He says, O foolish Galatians, it's absurd. It cannot be done. He says, who has bewitched you? Who's concerned with them? Have they been bewitched by a foul spirit? Has the devil seduced them away from the word of God? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? They've fallen and turned away from the truth of the living God by that is faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone. There's no other way whereby men or women are saved, but by grace through faith. It doesn't exist. We're saved by grace through faith. O foolish Galatians, it's absurd what they're believing. He says, who has bewitched you? It's a spiritual battle. This is called the sword of the Spirit for a reason, the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not battling against flesh and blood. That may be the results going on around us, but the root of it is always a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle within us, walking in the Spirit and denying the flesh, but it's a spiritual battle all around us, everywhere. When someone's oppressed by sin out here living for the devil, living for wickedness, at first, it's all in spiritual. That's where it comes from. The anger, wars, all these things among themselves. All these things, the violence, the wickedness, it all roots from a lack of the Holy Spirit. It all roots from the presence of evil spirits. That's where it comes from. Wickedness, sin, it's a spiritual battle. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, he says. That's something we need to be taking very seriously. We need to stay close to the Word of God, to the Good Shepherd, because there's wicked spirits around us. The devil is alive and well, and he's not taking a break. And we as God's people never need to take a break. We need to be about the Lord's business from Sunday morning all the way back to Sunday morning again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. Every day we need to be doing the Lord's work and the Lord's will. Every day we need to be feasting on the bread of life, the Word of God. Every day we need to be following the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to Him, never forsaking His way for our way, never forsaking His way for the devil's way or the ways of the world. We need to be in God's way, in God's Word, and God's will. We only do that by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all rooted in faith. By faith we're saved, by faith we're sanctified, by faith we follow through till we see Jesus face to face. And we'll no longer have to walk without seeing Him, but we'll see Him. We'll know Him face to face for all eternity in the new Jerusalem when Christ shall come forth from the eastern sky. He says there, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Oh, we hear bewitched all that. There's TV shows named that. There's people writing books about it. People just joke about it like it's nothing, like it's not real. People think the only thing's real so often is what we can touch, the wood we knock on, the books we hold, our physical bodies, but it's deeper than that. When this physical body is dead, it's going to be laid in a grave somewhere. My soul shall depart, be with God for all eternity, up in heaven. Yours too will go to that place called heaven, the most glorious place in all eternity, with Jesus Christ and God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. But if you don't know Jesus as Savior, if someone doesn't know Him, when this whole physical body dies, the soul goes straight to a place called hell. And that's not where God wants anybody. He said, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He opens the gates of heaven to all people to come before Him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He's welcoming all people. He stretched out His arms and died and rose again on the third day for all people. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. He says there, who has bewitched you? Who's deceived you by these spirits that you should not obey the truth? God wants us to obey the truth. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, we're going to love what He loves and hate what He hates. And it's a process drawn close to Him. It's sanctification, the second work of the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit in our heart when we're saved. And the Spirit shows us and guides us every day through sanctification how to closely follow Him more fully every day. If we're not closer to God today than we was yesterday, then we are backsliding. We need to be closer to God every day. Grow in the Spirit and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. that you should not obey the truth. They're not obeying the truth of the Word of God. They're not obeying the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're listening to seducing spirits. The Bible warns us over and over not to fall away, not to heed seducing spirits, but to look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's always there. He's the author of it. He saved us and He is the finisher of it. He'll bring us through if we'll trust in Him. Stay close to Him and follow Him. He says there, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? God wants us to be in the truth. The truth shall set you free. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Are you free from the wages of sin, which is death? It leads to eternal death in hell. Are you free from that? Are you free from the bondage of sin? Or have you got some bondage in your life that's holding you back from serving the Lord? Holding you back from salvation? Holding you back as a saved person from following the truth of the living God? Don't hold back. You'll lose your soul. That's not what God wants. He wants us close to Him. That you should obey the truth. These people, He was saying, they're following the wrong way, that they shouldn't obey the truth. Let's obey the truth by the Spirit of God. How do we do that? As we're getting in here, it's by faith. Through faith and faith alone. He says there, obey the truth. It's through faith. Faith is what pulls our good works along. Them old horse and buggies, you can't get the horse behind the buggy, and the buggy in front of it ain't going to go nowhere. It won't work. But if we get the horse in front, that's like our faith. It will pull the wagon behind it. And that's our good works. If we're trusting God, then the goodness will flow out of us, as we'll get into a little bit more here, with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You can't earn your salvation. You can't be good enough. All our goodness is like filthy rags, the Bible tells us. It's worthless. There's a lot of people by the world standard, they say that's a good person, fine person. And they'll go to hell someday if they don't know Jesus as Savior. Brothers and sisters, it's through faith. All our good works. There's a bad teaching that goes around so often. It's nothing new under the sun. It's a very old teaching that goes around. People say, well, at the end of the day, they'll take my good works and my bad works and they'll put them on a balance scale and we'll just see how it divvies out. That won't happen. It'll never happen. Because in the end of days, our good, the best we've got, is worthless. It's tainted by sin without the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know Him as Savior, our goodness can be the Holy Spirit working through us and following Him. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to be a balancing act to see how good you are. Because without Jesus Christ, we all stand guilty. It doesn't matter how good we've been, how much money we've given to the poor, without the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, without the faith in Him, it's worthless. It's nothing. But with faith in Him, we can do what the Bible says, only by Him. If someone gets arrested for a very heinous crime, and they say, well, look at all the good I've done. It doesn't change the fact. They give $1 million to the poor, it doesn't change the fact that they stand guilty. Me and you stand guilty before the law of God because we've all broken it. Broken in one part, it's all broken. Guilty, sinners, in need of a Savior. But praise God, when we were guilty, deserving of hell and damnation, He reached down and sent Jesus to save us. And anyone who calls upon Him, anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, is born again in the family of God, children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All things are passed away and new is begun. Praise God, and we can obey the truth by faith in Him. He says, before whose eyes Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. He was clearly portrayed. He was shown, He was preached to them, He has taught to them that Jesus Christ had to be crucified on the third day, raised again for our redemption. If we could earn our salvation, if we could obey the law in all parts to be good enough to go to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. But the fact of the matter is, every one of us stand guilty before God. Because without Jesus, we're nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing and neither can you. But with Him, we can follow Him and do the Word. He's saying that those foolish Galatians, before whose eyes, before their very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly, wasn't all muddied up. He was clearly portrayed. He's clearly taught among them as crucified. They taught His crucifixion, why He was crucified. He says there, they've heard the truth. This only in verse 2, I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, into your heart? If you're saved by the grace of God, you did. But He's asking them, this I only want to learn from you. He's wanting to hear from them. What's their answer here? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? By no means did they. By no means do we. You can't receive the Spirit by the works of the law, because we could never fulfill the law. Only Jesus Christ could. We all stood guilty without him. He said there, that's not how. That's not how it happened. Or by hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Did you receive the Spirit yourself in your own life? From the works of law or by hearing of faith? The only way you're going to receive is by hearing of faith. By trusting in Jesus as Savior. Hearing the truth. And putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Repenting of sin. Saying, Lord, save me and He'll save you. That's how we received it. By hearing of faith. Not by works of law. Because we could never live up to the law on our own. The law stands there to show us we're guilty. We're in need of a Savior. It's its first purpose. God is holy. And we're not without Jesus Christ's blood. He says there, are you so foolish? There again, he's asking them, are you so foolish? He says, having begun in the Spirit. Notice here. They begun in the Spirit. They accepted Jesus as Savior. We accepted Jesus as Savior. We know Him. He's our personal Savior. It's a personal thing. It starts one-on-one with God. And then community. We come together as a church together. First, you have to give your life. Your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as Savior. Are they so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The problem that they're being so foolish about is they were beginning. They gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, trusting, putting their faith in Him. And then they're trying to go on and follow the Lord by the works of the law instead of by the Holy Spirit. It can't happen that way. It'll never happen. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? It won't happen that way. The Bible teaches us that we are justified by grace through faith. So too are we sanctified by grace through faith. Our salvation is a gift, and so too is our sanctification. The second work is called the second work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my second work or yours. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's in our life. And we yield to Him. We yield to the Word of God. We listen to what God has to say. It's us agreeing with God, reading the Word, not questioning it like the devil did, but listening to what God has to say and obeying it by the Holy Spirit. We can't sit out here and read this verse and say, I'm going to do it on my own strength. It won't happen. We can't say, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I'm going to sit out here, I'm going to do it on my own strength because I'm a good fella. It won't never happen. But if we read a verse, love your neighbor as yourself, Lord, help me. And then we put it in action by trusting in God. We say, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. And Lord, I'm going to lean on You. Use me. Use the Holy Spirit through me. Trusting in God. Putting our faith in Him to do it. And then taking our actions and putting it through. Through faith in Him. It's through the Spirit. It's not through me. It's not through you. It's through the Spirit working through us. He says there, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you ever had a sin in your life that you couldn't conquer? It seemed like it was too great of a thing, too great of a feat. You just couldn't do it. It may be because you're not trusting in the Spirit. When there's sin in our lives, we yield to God. Put faith in Him. Repentance. Trust. Faith. Get in the Word of God. Listen and believe it. Believe what the Word says. It's set, the Bible tells us this book right here is the Word of God. It's alive and active. Sharper than a two-edged sword. We're those sisters, it can pierce us. Two-edged, it pierces those around us for sharing it, as it did those folks at Pentecost, and it pierces our hearts to draw closer to Him. It's an everyday process, drawing closer to Him. Like these old, you can see these beautiful big churches, and a lot of times they'll have a marble cornerstone, or granite, or some real pretty precious stone. They'll make their cornerstone out of it. It's real pretty, shaped, carved, chiseled away. Well, they didn't query it like that. When they dug it up from the ground, it didn't look like that. It had to be chipped away and smoothed out. God takes us. We're born again. We're saved by the grace of God. And then He's going to chip away at these edges and make us smooth in the creation that He's made us to be. But we need to be submitting to Him. Listen to Him. It's a process of sanctification. He's made us a new creation. He's getting out these rough edges, making us a beautiful creation. We're born again to His family. We need to submit to Him by faith. He'll smooth us out, and we can be like Him, closer and closer, every day. He said there, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Made perfect. Notice here, it's a process. Are you now being? Are you being made perfect by faith in Jesus Christ every day? Are you taking the Word of God every day? Don't set it aside. There's so many things we do every day. The list goes on and on of things, of habits we do. I certainly hope we're all eating every day. If we're not eating every day, we'll be famished. Brothers and sisters, are you eating spiritually from the Word of God, the Bible, every day? If not, spiritually, you will be famished. Spiritually, you'll be struggling mighty well. Spiritually, it'll be hard. You'll be unhealthy spiritually. How can you break down the strongholds of Satan going on all around us? We can look around us. It's no mystery in this world. It's no mystery in this town. It's no mystery here around us. The spirits of wickedness are bewitching people, as they did. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, as they did back then? But brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the living God is more powerful than the devil. He's more powerful than anything ever created. It's the Spirit of God Almighty who created heavens and earth. Before you're in the belly of the womb, He knew you. He loved you. And He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He knew everything we do. He knew all our wickedness, but He sent Jesus anyways. And Jesus went willingly knowing us and loving us anyways. God has more reason to cast us all into hell, but He doesn't, because He loves us. He died for us. He says here, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed, was it in vain? Was it all in vain? Brothers and sisters, we're not saved in vain. We're not saved as worthlessness. We're saved by the grace of God. Have you suffered so many things? They've suffered for being Christians, it says. Did they suffer it in vain? They accepted Jesus and reject Him instead of falling through with Him. Makes it seem like it's in vain. Lord, it wasn't in vain. Help us. He says here, therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does He do it not by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? It says there, we're made perfect by the Spirit of the living God. Perfect as Jesus Christ. Perfect in Him. It's a process. Growing in Christian perfection. I'm not saying I'm free from sin, neither are you. It's a process. Every day growing closer to Him. Closer and closer in God's perfection, because He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who is perfect, holy, high lifted up. We are to draw closer to Him every day. He who supplies the Spirit to you, the Bible says He gives us grace for every need. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does He do it by works of law or by hearing of faith? We're saved by grace through faith. For He's made it abundantly clear, and the Bible shows us that. We can't earn it. But secondly, He who supplies the Spirit to you personally. God has given you the Holy Spirit. Supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. God's still working miracles this day. People teach these things that God doesn't work miracles today, that the signs are, they're gone, all these things are gone about God fulfilling from the book of Acts all the way today. We're the church of the living God. Nothing has ceased. The works of the Holy Spirit have not ceased. They're growing more and more every day. The Bible says in the last days your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And praise God, it's fulfilled in us as a church of the living God. Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, the greatest miracle God does is redeeming people from by the blood of the Lamb, redeeming people from death, hell, and the grave. And that's what Jesus conquered when He rose again on the third day. And the Bible says we can be dead to sin and alive to the Lord Jesus Christ by putting our faith in Him. Every day we can put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we're dead to sin. The Bible says, take up your cross daily. Every day die to sin and rise again. Every day follow in the Lord. Live as risen people. If God has rose us from the dead, saved us from death, hell, and the grave, then we need to live as redeemed people. Live as saved people. He says there, works miracles among you. God's still working miracles. He's still saving the sick. He's still redeeming those that's lost. He's still working miracles among us. He says there, works miracles. It's not past tense. He who used to do it back in the old days, and wasn't that nice? No, He does it right now. He's still working miracles if we'll put our faith in Him, put our trust in Him. Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit, God will give you the Spirit and grace for every need. Every time, if you'll put your faith in Him, if we'll put faith in Him, He'll supply our needs with the Holy Spirit. Every time, you can mark it down as a promise of the Word of God. There's also promises in the Word we need to heed. And there's warnings in the Word. We need to heed them equally. Don't reject the Word of God. Listen here what He says a few chapters later in Galatians chapter 5. He says here in Galatians 5 in verse 18, verse 16, misread it there. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, He says. Live in the Spirit, some translations say. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process. Walk with the Lord, he says. We're up, alive, active, as the Word of God is. It's alive and active in our lives. We need to be alive and active, being the body of Christ out here, being God's people, God's ambassadors to this world. I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is living in your heart. We need to be careful what we allow in our lives. We need to be careful what we do, what we say, what we allow in our life. To walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are the lust of the flesh knocking on your door? Are they trying to get you? Is the devil trying to get you to follow him instead of following God? What's the key to it? Our flesh is weak. The Bible says that God will never tempt you to do evil, but we're drawn away from our own fleshly desire, from our own lust, brothers and sisters. What's the key to it? He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Turn to God, the author and finisher of our faith. Walk in the Spirit, and then ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we turn to God, walk in the Spirit, it'll all work out. Faith is the key to it all. Faith is the key to living a life to God, trusting in Him. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another. They're contrary to one another. They don't mix. He says they're the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They battle each other because they're not of the same world. We're born again in the family of God. I may reside here in Tennessee, but it's just a temporary home. The United States is temporary. This whole world is temporary. The Bible tells us that the very elements themselves, we burn. What are we living for? Are we living for God and storing our treasures up in heaven by following Him in sanctification, by following the Holy Spirit? Are we storing treasures up in heaven? Or are we building up treasures down here below where moth and rust stuff corrupt? Brothers and sisters, and it's all going to be burned up at the end of the world. The very elements, think about that. A rock melting. My goodness, destroyed, utterly, gone, to pieces. Brothers and sisters, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The only ones that'll be there are those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us in Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. By the word of God we shall prevail. Lust of the flesh and the Spirit of living God, they're contrary to one another. They cannot mix in a life. They can't mix in our lives. One is choking the other. They are contrary one to another, the Bible says. Contrary to one another. It says, you do not do the things that you wish. Have you ever wished that you were closer to God? Have you ever wished you could follow the Lord? You can by the Holy Spirit. You can't by your own flesh. You can't do it on your own. But by putting faith in Him and following Him, we can. If we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit, if you walk in the flesh, you can't do the things that you'd want. You say, Lord, I want to read the Word and get some more out of it. I want to follow You. I want my prayers to be effective. I want to do Your will in this world. If you're walking the flesh, it'll never happen. The Bible says, the effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Brothers and sisters, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Which one are you following today, this morning? Which one was you following yesterday? Where are you going to follow tomorrow? We need to be careful what we follow in our lives. Either the flesh or the Spirit. It's a choice. Every day, it says in Joshua, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Is your house going to serve God? Or is it going to serve the ways of the flesh? There's a million roads to hell, more than we can count, but there's only one to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Straight is the path, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. But broad is the way that leads to hell. Brothers and sisters, we want the straight and narrow way by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Word. It lays us out, and it shows us the way. He says there, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You want to follow the Lord, put your faith in Him and walk in the Spirit that God has given you when upon your salvation. He says there, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, if we're following the Holy Spirit, we don't stand condemned under the law. The law condemns us. The law is useful. It shows us what God loves and what God hates. We don't stand condemned under it. We follow the Spirit of the law of God, that we can read it and say, Lord, help us, and follow us, and put our faith in Him, and we can listen to what He says. He says here, now, listen closely in verse 19, he says, of Galatians 5:19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're evident for everybody to see, lost and saved alike. But most of all, God, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are going about to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. He sees you. He sees your heart. He sees your mind. He knows all things and He loves us. He says, come unto Me for redemption. Now the works of the flesh are evident, it says, which are adultery, fornication. Now notice here, when He's saying these, He's not just saying just the actions. But Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, that if you lust after a woman in your lust after a woman, or woman lust after a man, or vice versa, whatever it is, they've committed adultery in their heart already. Brothers and sisters, angry, without a cause, you're committing murder in your heart already, brothers and sisters. It's deeper than just the mere actions. People say, well, you can think these thoughts, and as long as you don't do it, you're all right. No, you're not. It's still sin before God. It's a different type of sin, but it's still sin. It's still the works of the flesh. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. Sin will kill you. It'll take your mortal body dead. But most of all, it'll kill your spirit. If you indulge it long enough and turn away from God, it'll kill your soul. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, contrary to the word of God, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. We see these things evident. I see them all around us just here in East Tennessee. They're all around us in the entire world. They're the works of the flesh. He says there, and the like, all those things like them, in which I tell you beforehand, he's told them this before, just as I tell you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh God, help us all. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Won't be in the New Jerusalem. That's what he says. Many people will say that that's not the case, but it is. It's what the Word of God tells us. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How does someone quit practicing those things? Someone can say, I'm not going to drink no more and sit down the sin of alcohol. Somebody can say, I'm not going to do drugs no more and start to sit it down. They can say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But that won't get you to heaven. Only by putting your faith in Jesus Christ can you. When you put the sin down here in the flesh, when this is not really gone, it's just temporary, they'll pick it back up another time. But when you yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you give your heart to Him and you put your faith in Him, God will wash you away. He'll redeem you. The old things are passed away. The new has begun. You're a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those old things that bound you, they're gone. The devil will try to bring them back. But the devil has no power over a believer except you give it to him. If you won't give it to him, if you'll stay in the power of the Holy Spirit instead of in the ways of the flesh, the devil has no power over you. And he'll be cast in the pits of hell someday where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We live in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because he tells us here, if we'll live in the Spirit, if we'll walk in the Spirit, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, praise God, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against them because those are lawful. Those are what God loves. We want to reflect God just as the moon has no brightness on its own. It doesn't have any fire on it, but it reflects. When we see it shining on beautiful nights, it's reflecting the light from the sun. We need to reflect the light from the S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, showing His light, His love through us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith and faith alone in Him, faith and action. Two sides of the same coin, but first you must have faith to even have it. Faith is the way that drives it. Faith is the only way. The fruit of the Spirit, it shows these forth. Now notice here, it says these are the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, what kind of fruit is your life bearing forth? Get to the root of the problem. Get to the root of the issue. If an apple tree is not bearing fruit because it's dead, it's going to be cast in the fire someday. So true. It'll be hewn down. Jesus talks about that in the parable. If it bears no fruit, it'll be hewn down and cast into the fire. If it quits bearing fruit, be hewn down, cast in the fire. He talks about one parable where the servant says, let me dig about it. See if we can get it to bear fruit. If it still didn't, it was hewn down, cast into the fire. Brothers and sisters, what kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? God knows. He sees you. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. Is it right with Him? He says there, those are the fruits of the Spirit. If we're rooted in the Spirit, if we're putting our faith in the Spirit, then these things will start flowing forth out of our life more and more every day. But if we're rooted in the flesh instead of the Spirit, the works of the flesh will show forth. An apple tree is going to bring forth apples every time. I won't go out there and see tomatoes on it. Every time it'll show forth apples. If we're rooted in the Spirit, we'll show forth spiritual fruits. And the closer we get with Him, the more healthy we are spiritually, the better fruits of the Spirit will show. The more fruits of the Spirit will show. If an apple tree is all sickly because it's barely getting any water, it's not going to be having much apples, is it? Eventually it'll die. If someone's not getting in the Word, not listening to God, not putting their faith in Him, they're not going to be showing forth many fruits of the Spirit. Eventually they'll be back in the works of the flesh, because their tree will die, because it's not rooted in the water of life, which is the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. Like I said in prayer a second ago, Revelation says that anyone can come. He says He gives the water of life anyone who will come, whosoever, freely, whosoever believeth in Him, can come and drink of that water of life, the Holy Spirit, freely. Why would we give that up? Have you ever been on a hot day working, and then you drink a good glass of water? It's so wonderfully refreshing. Brothers and sisters, this world's famished around us. It's like a desert. But the Holy Spirit is the only water that can water our souls to produce these fruit. There's no other way. And how do we walk in the Spirit? By putting our trust in the Spirit of God. By putting our trust in God Almighty. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're living in Him, if you're following Him, you will walk in the Spirit. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, if we live in the Spirit, we will not walk in the Spirit. If we'll live in the Spirit, live our lives in the Spirit, do everything we can for the glory of God, and get these things out of us that's not for God's glory. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Because listen here, on down in chapter 6, he says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now notice here, let's close in verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If I'm going out here sowing corn, I guarantee you, there's no potatoes going to be coming up unless someone else planted it. If I'm sowing corn, it's going to be corn. Do not be deceived. Oh, the devil will tell you. Oh, you can sow whatever you want, and you'll still be reaping peace and joy. You won't. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. He's God Almighty. He's holy. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows in the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. What does corruption do to our bodies? It kills them. What's it do to your soul? It eats it away. You as a believer, if you're reaping corruption, reaping in the flesh instead of living in the Spirit, if you're reaping in the flesh, it will corrupt your soul. Brothers and sisters, you don't want that. We want to be pure before God, of faith in Him. What are you sowing in your life? What are you reaping? For he who sows in the flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Praise God. If you're sowing in the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. Where do we get our seeds? Faith in Jesus Christ. How do we get the will to sow them? By faith in Jesus Christ and sanctification. It's all rooted in faith. He says there, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Sometimes it takes a little while for the crops to grow, but you'll reap everlasting life someday if you're sowing in the Spirit. If you're sowing in the flesh, it may take it a little bit for you to reap it, but you'll reap corruption. God doesn't want that. If you're reaping corruption, reaping in the flesh. If you're sowing in the flesh, brothers and sisters, put faith in Jesus Christ. He'll get rid of that. Faith in Him, you can sow in the Spirit. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of the faith, he tells us. Let's listen to what God has to say. Every day, follow the Word. Praise God we can do that. Let's go back over here to Galatians 3, once again where we were reading. He says there, therefore, in verse 5, as we read there about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the flesh, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. How is that? These miracles in our lives. What a miracle it is. First and foremost, a sinner bound for hell, bound in the chains of sin, is redeemed and set free. It's a miracle. God's working that miracle every day. And then we can follow through in these fruits of the Holy Spirit that God tells us. That's a miracle that God's working in the Holy Spirit among us. If there's no sanctification, no love for God in our life, no seeking His way and His Word, then you can mark it down. Check and see, is there any justification? Is there even any faith there? Is the Holy Spirit even there? A lot of people's deceived. Some people think they can come down, have a good cry at the altar, and think it's all good. No matter, they can go out and live however they want, and they'll go to heaven. It won't happen. It's faith in Jesus Christ that saves, and faith that sustains our faith. Faith And God, by His grace, grace for every need, He holds us in His hand. He guides us and shows us the way. Brothers and sisters, the altar is a wonderful place. He tells us to come before Him at the altar. Brothers and sisters, everywhere we go, we're to be praying, watching Him. But the outward is not what saves us. The outward living is not what saves us. It's the inward Holy Spirit that works from the inside out. We don't want to be gilded. The Bible says He wants to use us for His glory. The Bible says that my cup runneth over. But God's not going to fill your cup up if you're way out in yonder field. We need to be closer to Him. Lord, fill my cup up. And our cup's got to be clean through repentance in Him. Clean by faith in Him. My tea glass is all filthy. I'm not going to drink out of it. It needs washed. We need washed by the blood of Jesus. We need washed by the Spirit of God. Every day, close to Him. God help us to do that. Spirit's working miracles today. If you need a miracle in your life, reach out to God in faith. Let's reach out to Him. Sometimes His answer is no to some of our prayers. But in the end of days, we'll see it by and by. I've used this example before. But look at this sewn bookmark. It looks mighty crazy. You probably can't see it well over the film. And over the radio, I know you can't hear it. You can't see it. But if you look at it on the back where that's sewn, it looks mighty funny. But if you look at the front, at the completed work on the top, it's beautiful. So too is our lives. We don't understand things a lot of times. Stephen was stoned to death. As a witness to God, he was a martyr. The Bible tells us. He passed away and he prayed for those people that were stoning him. He wanted them to know Jesus. So many of the martyrs of the Reformation, as they were burning at the stake, they were singing praises to God and praying for those around us. Brothers and sisters, we never know what miracles will be worked in us. But we know that it'll all work out for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God says He works all things for the good of those who love God. All things. God didn't cause evil in this world. It's not God's fault, the sin around us. It's people's fault. It's the devil. All that. Evil spirits and people free choice by not following God. But God promised He'll take what's evil, bring it to good. Joseph. Back here in Genesis, later chapters in Genesis, it gives his life story. I encourage you to read it. If you haven't before, and even if you have, let's read it again. It's the Word of God. But he talks about, at the end of it, there, I believe it was chapter 50, his brothers were scared that he would harm them because they had sold him, I believe it was to Ishmaelites, and he ended up being sold down there to Egypt as a slave, and God gave him favor because he put his faith in Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty. He put his faith in God and trusted Him. And all the way up, God showed him through. His brothers were scared that He would pay them back for the evil they'd done Him, but He said no. He said, you're forgiven. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God used the evil they'd done for good in Joseph's life and for good for all the children of Israel. He supplied food for them. God will use the bad things that's happened in our life. The terrible things. God didn't cause those. He can use them for good. To those who love God, you love God. If you're saved, you must. And who are called according to His purpose. God has called us all, first and foremost, to holy living, sanctification, by the Word of God. Not outward, but inward. If we get our hearts right with God and our minds right with God, then the outward will follow through. Get yourself right with God. Lord, help us all. He will work miracles among us. Does He do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? By hearing of faith, by trusting in Him. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise God. People tell you that in the Old Testament people were saved different from the New Testament and the tribute. No, that doesn't happen. The Bible tells us in Jude that there is a common salvation. All people. Abraham was saved by grace through faith. I was saved by grace through faith. If you're saved, you're saved by grace through faith. There's no other salvation. There's no other path. Back there in Genesis, Joseph, he was saved by grace through faith in Abraham. But they were looking forward to the cross. Jesus Christ has always been. He hadn't come in the flesh yet, but Jesus was the one who created the world. Though John chapter 1 tells us, by Him all things were created. Through Him nothing was created. Nothing without Him was created. Through Him all things were created. Excuse me. They were looking forward to Jesus Christ, and we're looking back seeing it. We get to the privilege of living in the church age, the final age, before Jesus Christ comes back, and we live with Him for all eternity in the New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, they're saved by grace through faith, just as we are. That's the only way of salvation. It's the only way that's ever been for salvation. Only way there will ever be salvation is by putting faith in God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. A lot of people back in the New Testament day, they'd make a big deal about, well, our ancestor was Abraham. That must give him favor with God. It doesn't, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that faith with him does. You'll read back there in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel departed through the Red Sea, they departed from Egypt land. It wasn't just Israelites that went. The Bible says there's a mixed multitude. There was people that wasn't descendants from Abraham, but they put their faith in God. They believed God. The Bible says some of them believed God and they didn't feel the wrath because they trusted in God Almighty. They put their faith in Him. That's the only way to do it. There is no other way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise God. Lord, help us. Trust. We first trust, and then we obey. There's no other way. He says there, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed Him. He trusted Him as Savior, and God gave him righteousness. It was accounted to him. He had no righteousness on his own, but it was accounted to him. It was given to him. Brothers and sisters, if we'll put our faith in God, righteousness is given to us through Jesus Christ. We're like Him by faith. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. They said there in the New Testament, they said, we're the sons of Abraham. God said, that doesn't give you favor. God can raise up rocks to be sons of Abraham. Brothers and sisters, it's by faith that we're part of the household of God. Abraham, well, he'll be our brother in heaven. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's Gentiles, that's me and you, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, he says, they're saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed, all the nations. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If we're in faith, we're believing. We're blessed for that promise. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We're blessed with Him. Praise God. Those who are of faith. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And are you keeping your faith in Him every day? Don't lose heart. Stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. Make your heart fertile ground by faith in Jesus Christ, for His Word is seeds to grow. The Bible says grow in the Spirit. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we grow? By the Word of God. By prayer. By trusting in Him. Go move with me down to verse 15 of Galatians 3. It says, Brethren and sisters, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is not only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. Now one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. This I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. He promised him. And God never goes back on His promises. He promises that if you'll come to Him, He'll save you by faith. He was back in Abraham's day. The law didn't know it when Moses came along. The law had its purpose. Now, as children of God, the law has a purpose for sanctification. We can read it and study it. Study God's Word and understand. We're saved by faith. Through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go with me to verse 19. He says, but what purpose then does the law serve? It added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. It is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not, he says. For if there had been a law given, which could have been given life, truer righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin. Everybody. That the promise by faith, he says, in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. To those who believe. It's given anybody who will believe. Anybody. The law can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can. Obedience to the law can't save us because we're all under sin, the Bible tells us. But by faith in Him, he says. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given. It's a free gift. A gift is not earned. God gives us grace. Grace is more than mercy. Mercy is withholding justice. Our justice will be eternity and damnation of hell. God withholds that. That's called mercy. When you withhold justice. But God didn't just give us mercy. He gave us grace. Grace is when you don't only withhold justice, but you are given something that you did not earn by any merit. We're given salvation as a free gift by putting our faith in Him to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. It had a purpose. It's time. Kept for faith. Kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. It wasn't yet revealed. Jesus hadn't come yet. But all along it was by faith. What did God tell him in the minor prophets? He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God all the time, He's wanted faith. Faith is the key. Abraham believed God. Moses believed God. Joshua, all these people, it was by faith they were saved. Moses, he broke the law. Abraham did. They've all broken the law of God. Everyone has. But God is a redeemer. He redeemed them. Brought them out of the miry pit just like He did me. He did for you. He'll do for those who don't. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It's to show us. It's our schoolmaster. It says you're in need of a Savior because you've committed sin. There's a void in your heart that only God can fill. People try to fill it with trying to obey the law. It won't happen on their own merit. People try to fill it with alcohol, with drugs, with everything around us, with lustfulness. People try to fill that void in their heart with all sorts of things. The list goes on and on. The devils will supply you things to try to. Brothers and sisters, only Jesus can fill the void in your heart that you can complete. We have a soul, eternal soul. We have a physical body. But we're born with, there's two things. But what do we need? We need the Spirit within our hearts to make us a complete creation, a renewed creation, born again. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We move on. Trust in Him. The law has its purpose in our life. We'll walk in the Spirit. Then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't get it backwards and say, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh so I can walk in the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. People try it every day, but it doesn't work that way. We walk in the Spirit. We get our horse hitched up. Then we can obey and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. What's the root of it? Looking into Jesus. What's the root of it? Getting in the Word. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God Almighty. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. All generations. Sons and daughters. Why is that? Because your faith is not passed down. My fourth great grandfather, he was a Methodist circuit rider. That was a wonderful testimony he had. But his grace isn't going to get me to heaven. Neither will his children or their children or their children or anyone else's, my ancestors. It won't get me to heaven. And neither will yours. Your father's, your grandfather's. Nobody's faith will get you to heaven. Only by putting your personal faith in Jesus Christ is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God promised He will not blot it out. We'll put our faith in Him. We'll trust in Him. Follow Him. Love Him. We have assurance of salvation by the love of God. He promised. He doesn't go back on His promises. He didn't go back on His promise with Abraham. He never goes back on His promise with us. He gives us eternal life to all those who believe. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts tells us if we'll do that, we shall be saved. He says there, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we get saved. Through faith, that's how we're kept. By grace, through faith, every day. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is. He says there, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us over and over, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw nigh unto Him. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His works, His ways. Put it on us. If I get my coat on and put it on me, it's engulfing me. It's filling me up. is covering me. Brothers and sisters, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His ways, because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are glorious, and ours are not. But when we put our ways on, put our way, our path, on the straight and narrow, which is His way, then it's glorious. We're in His will. We want to be in the will of God every day. The will of God is found in the Word of the living God, the Bible. Lord, help us. For as many of you who are baptized in Christ have put on Christ, were washed clean by the blood of Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what color you are, what you was born. It doesn't matter any of that. Are you freeborn or not? None of that matters. Are you saved? Then you're a child of God, he says there. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're heirs of the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my King. He's your King. He's our King. Stand on the promises of God. The solid rock of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against us, the church of the living God. That's a promise that God's given us. So we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to walk around all beat down and whipped by the devil. No, we are more than conquerors through Christ who saved us. We're more than conquerors through faith in Him. Praise God, we're conquerors by faith. By God's faith. And there's no other way. Have you got your faith in Him today? Or is it in something else? Is it in yourself? Have you got your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as Savior? If you do, glory to God. Are you doing as the Galatians were, turning away from Him? Are you being foolish? The absurdity that you could sanctify and finish your work on your own. That you could live for God on your own. It's foolish, he says. It'll never happen. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Live in the Spirit. If we'll live in the Spirit, we'll walk in the Spirit. Let's live in the Spirit of God, relying on Him, trusting in Him every day. Brother and God, brothers and sisters, that's what God's telling us to do. He's begging us. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith. Is your faith in Him? If it is, then your faith is well founded. It's upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He's talking about Himself. Solid. It won't pass away. Solid. It's grounded. It's sturdy. It's stable. It's not unstable. Is that where your faith is? Or is your faith in yourself? We change. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, Jeremiah tells us. It wiggles back and forth. We don't know where it'll go, brothers and sisters. But Jesus, He's stable. That rock, it doesn't move. Are you stable on Him? Is your faith in His stability, on His Word? Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And this is the written Word. So ask yourself, do you know Him as Savior first and foremost? If so, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you conquering sin? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your love. Thank You, Father God, that we have the Holy Spirit in our life, that we can walk with You and talk with You and know that we are Your sons and daughters. Help us, Lord, to never leave that promise, to never wander away, Lord, but to stay close to You, Lord, knowing that You'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we can follow You. Lord, we thank You for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Bless each and every one of the people that's, Lord, watching and listening here, and help us to take heed to Your Word every day, Lord. And if there's someone that doesn't know You as Savior that sees this, Lord, listening, help them to submit to You by faith, Lord, and Your children. Help us all to listen to the Word of God and Your Holy Spirit, Lord, every day. Keep us safe, and most of all, in Thy perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. And we look forward to being back up at Mars Hill to worship together and assemble together as God's children. God bless you all. Let's go in peace to love and serve God our Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.